Fishing for Birds. Written by Linda Kinnick. Narrated by Nina Richmond. Dedication to Oma for the stories. Never make yours the subject of islands, she cautioned the young woman. But what else? The young woman asked, knowing nothing of other places. You can't know the story of an island. It's unfathomable, disconnected. You would understand, the young woman said. No, I never did. And I still don't. And so she stayed, until the islands told their own stories. The older one was right, though. They were never hers, even after the telling. Chapter 1. Kate, Britannia Island, 2005. Everyone always called her accident prone. That's Kate, her father would say, palms up. I get it. To herself, she was just clumsy, hovering somewhere outside her own body, the product of a childhood devoid of ballet classes and figure skating lessons, pursuits that produced muscle memory and a rigid spine. Testaments to confidence. As for Kate, she wasn't certain she was actually occupying her body, and in more existential moments, she wondered whether she'd been born at all, or if in fact, she was still making up her mind. But Kate's birth was very civilized, as far as births go. The doctor said she was transverse, lying sideways in her mother's womb, as though sunning herself in a lounge chair. She can't decide which end will come out first. A C-section was scheduled, as was usually done in such cases. Seemingly, Kate's ambivalence was contagious. At 37 weeks, her mother Nora's blood pressure rose slightly, but not enough that the doctor knew for certain it was time to intervene. So another week passed, and at 38 weeks gestation and much insistence from the bloated mother-to-be, a decision was made. Nora was not a fan of tardiness, and when the doctor was a half hour late, shouted to her husband to go and find that woman. At 2:10 p.m. on a Friday, Kate was born in the presence of a highly drugged mother and a father in tears. When she was two, Kate pulled her mother's electric frying pan full of spattering pork chops off the counter. When she was four, she swallowed a quarter and turned blue. At five, she fell off a 30-foot dock. In all instances, she traipsed away without a scratch or scar. This was telling, but her mother was still afraid of borrowed time. Kate shifts in the low arc of the kayak. At the end of the inlet, she dips the right blade of her paddle, then the left. The small craft wiggles, slaps ocean at her hips. She pauses to search a break in the wall of forest up the bank. She notices a shaking bush, but can't strain far enough to see whatever small animal is there without tipping. You can see so much more from a kayak, smaller things you'd miss from a speedboat or ferry. Morning is the most illuminating time, when it's as calm as this. The ocean a heady, viscous ink. Other folks have yet to rise and fill the air with competing intentions. Paddling makes her forget, causes her to sing in an operatic style that might be embarrassing if she had an audience composed of more than birds, otters, and other undiscriminating creatures. As her torso swivels, her mind skims over water gloss, and tension releases itself through her voice. Normally, this brings a sense of calm, a thinning of the membrane between her body and what surrounds it. But today she notices something else in the muted air as she approaches the tiny bay, something inscrutable, like a shifting tide. Autumn is losing patience. Soon winds will begin to lift the ocean and tease it into tiny whipped peaks. Summers aren't very long on the West Coast. At the mere suggestion of Autumn's presence, its exposure. Her voice weakens. She feels a familiar pull, as though something like a fisherman's net has replaced the fascia throughout her body, encasing her organs. This net has an open...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?